Too much to me, not too much. Especially following the wonderful poetry that came before. I remember the 50s, I was there, I remember Mission Week. I was living in Erdington in Birmingham at the time, and they used to come down from Liverpool after money. So, you know, we'd go away with empty purses, but knowing just how sinful we were. So there we go.
Remember Marion Hughes?
Sorry?
Remember Marion Hughes?
Oh, yes. Right. Thank you, Paul. Well, it's out on the website. I'll be downloading it next week when I get home and playing it to myself every day just to remind myself how good it is. Because nobody else tells me that, though. I'm just having such an amazing day, actually. I'm sure I'm going to wake up in a minute and find it was just the best dream I've ever had in my life. I thought I'd start off tonight with the first poem in the collection. There's a lot of poets here, but there's also people who aren't poets. And for those of you who are not poets, I think you should heed this warning. It's called Beware the Poet. Beware the poet and his soft, sweet tongue, his sensuous search for his precious next verse that will leave you feeling worse than before you met him. He will awaken your yearning for pleasure with words and caresses in order to measure his power to hurt. And the wound that is left, that has once more cleft you, is slower to heal, for you have begun to feel once more. Now those of you who know me know of my roots. Those of you who don't know me might think, I'm really glad she's a good Cork girl. I married a Cork man, or at least his ancestry was Cork. His great-grandfather left Cork during one of the potato famines. My ancestry is actually from the other side of the sea. My father was Belgian. His mother was French, and there's a bit of German sprinkled in there as well. So when people say, you know, what nationality are you? I say, I'm European.
There is no such thing.
What, is a European?
No.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, no,
it is.
Sovereignty is... He pays daughters.
There is no collective thing in your...
No, but I mean, there's a lot of labels, you know, so people like labels. I give myself the label of European. Because I don't like...
Do you shop at Tesco?
Not often. So this, last year, with Noel King, who's here, and Michael Curtis, who's here.
Quiet.
We're going to have to leave any conversation until after the reading, okay?
Okay, fair enough, right? Alright, okay.
Okay.
Cool. Great thing, though. Cool.
I was back in okay. I was born after the war. I was born in 1945, between the end of the war and the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima. And my father had ended up in London. He'd been in the resistance in Belgium and then France. He ended up in one of Franco's prisons. And then escaped via Lisbon and Limerick and ended up in England, which is where he met my mother. And as soon as they made a little channel in the channel, we were able to kind of cross back to Belgium. So my father went back in October 1945 with a new wife and a new baby, much to his mother's horror, because his mother didn't like the English very much. But there you go. I think my mother and grandmother didn't speak for a time. And I was back there last year with Noel and Michael, and it was very odd being there. I hadn't been there for years. And I kept thinking, I was in a building and thinking, is it very familiar? Or it should be familiar. Do I remember this? Was I here? Did I have my first confession here? It was very, very strange, this idea of knowing that there were memories there and yet not being able to unleash them. But I did find some of them. So this is called Back to Liège. No angel I, nor saint, an alien child, a woman aging. In search of her lost self, she opens her drawer of memories and finds her child's chest, raises the lid and discovers mussels and chips, rice and apricot tarts, manakempis, cool waterfall, rummages and brings out seaside holidays, sailor's tomatoes stuffed with grey prawns, rediscovers the doll in the red hood that would go with her to the jellyfish and tar-stained beach, her grandmother knitting, clickety-clack, over the hill, the trains on the track, smells her Nivea-scented skin, her bottom ringing from the morning spank, her bed wet again, sees once more the park, the sand pit, castles of sand or in Spain, the grandmother's on the bench, and Brian, who was knitting me, clickety-clack, a life that wouldn't fit. So French was my first language, and there's been a request for one of my poems in French, of which there are a couple in here. And it's about roots. I have very short roots that belong in lots of different countries. And roots are kind of important, but your roots kind of also dip into yourself. So you kind of carry what you dip your roots into around with yourself, and that's what this poem is about. And it's called Racine. Tremper mes racines dans les sources de ma vie, y boire longuement, y trouver l'essence essentielle de mon être. Tentaculaire mes racines, tremper dans l'encre de l'inconscient, l'âme cherche sa lumière. You don't really need to understand it. Just listen to the sounds and things. Childhood is a magical time, and sometimes things happen in life that take you back to a moment. The shopping these days is not what it was in the 50s. And I remember going shopping with my mother, and the local shop was called Renton's. It was the local grocer. And high were tins of biscuits with kind of glass tops in the lid, and I used to adore these. So while my mother was shopping, you know, giving in the order, I'd be going around, you know, the nose going from wonderful tin to wonderful tin. So this is a child's view of Renton's. And half a pound of butter, please. Half a dozen eggs, and some of that lovely bacon there. On one foot, hands in cardi pockets, waiting as mother places the weekly order. Nose, tins high. Large glass-topped metal cubes filled with biscuits. Digestive, chocolate bourbons. Smell of coffee, swish of slicer, pink creamy wafers, pat, pat, slap of butter, round coconut with finger hole, round creamies with jam, blob to be eaten last. Patient steamy breath on glass, hopeful eyes look up, so far, waiting. And half a pound of assorted biscuits. So that was the treat. This is for Paul. Paul told me yesterday he doesn't like ironing shirts. He just doesn't like ironing. I love ironing shirts. I find the whole experience very, very sensuous.
They are.
Yeah, just pile them up later, okay? Just get me the ironing board, the iron. No problem. Fabulous. Oh, great. Can't wait. Right. So this is called 30 Shirts Twice. I've been there, done that. Your shirts were there. Angry, crumpled, crushed in a case. Lovingly, hungrily, I picked them out, lay them on the bed. I fetched the long-neglected board and filled the iron with water. I smoothed each shirt to know you more. Fondling shade, style, texture, my eager hand guided the heat, pressed lightly then hard over these morning skins you daily slip into. Creases, wrinkles vanished between the insistence of my hand. Renewed they hang, empty they wait for your body. See what pleasures await you. Try it. You may like it. I I have three granddaughters, and my daughter being a single mother, I helped her out with her daughter when she went back to work. And there's a very gothic cemetery in southeast London where I lived. It's called Nunhead Cemetery, and it is the most fabulous space. You know, you just wouldn't think you were anywhere near London, never mind in London. And I used to push my granddaughter Clary around in the buggy there, and some of her, well, one of her first proper sentences was, "Angels are broken." I have a step-grandson who couldn't pronounce the name Anne-Marie, and he ended up calling me Mimi, so all the grandchildren call me Mimi, which is lovely, I like it. So this is to my granddaughter, Chloe, and it's called Statues. "Angels are broken, Mimi," she sings, as she runs to the music of her words. Broken wings, broken arms, broken heads. Follow me," she rings, as my feet join the rhythm of her dance. Broken hands, broken feet, broken noses. She takes flight as she wings her weaving way through shattered stones. Self unbroken, heart unbroken, spirit unbroken. We all know we're going to die, even though we perhaps don't quite believe it. Can't imagine suddenly ceasing to be, but you know, along the life road we lose friends, and I lost a very good friend a few years ago. In fact, he was the one who took the photo of me that's on the back of the book, Paul Qualia, and this is a poem that I wrote to him just before his death, and it's called "The Last Time I Was Here." The last time I was here with you, laughter rang in the lantern glowing night, and celebrating children ran and sang and chewed on treats. The last time I was here with you, we sat by warm windows in tea rooms that echoed our political rage, watched by photographs of those long gone. The last time I was here with you, your startled camera blinked in my direction as I worked my way through hats and rolled another cigarette. This last time I am here with you. You tell me you are dying and bury your head in wasted hands and stare at the cancerous core of your world, then check the mirrored ghost in search of the past. Ireland is one of my favourite places in the world, and I'm always sad when I have to leave. And this was written on a plane as it was soaring away from Ireland to take me back to England. And it's called "The Serpent Between Heaven and Hell," because I've seen an exhibition by that name, so the whole thing was in my head still, these wonderful images and things. Softish days and Guinness rivers of gently quilted Erin fade as we spear the misty frontier between heaven and earth. Like a Cullen in his chariot, we cruise the purpled plain. The circle of gold and red and orange torches the horizon as quietly we slip away. A few years ago, I was asked by a choreographer to write a piece about identity, about origins. And she starts off by saying, "Have you got anything on origins, on identity, on cultural heritage?" And I think so. If I could write something, so I did. And it was quite a long piece for a choreographed piece that she then worked on with the words, and we worked with an African musician as well. And I'm just going to read you a couple of extracts from this. It's inspired by women in my family, two of them are actually imagined. My grandmother was orphaned when she was eight, and the youngest child, they were sent to different uncles in different countries to be brought up, and the youngest ended up in Azerbaijan. well, north of Setia, Azerbaijan, and then Ukraine. And she disappeared about the time of the Russian Revolution. So I kind of imagined that, and knew she had a daughter, so I kind of imagined a granddaughter and a great-granddaughter running parallel to her sister, my grandmother's life. And so I've kind of interwoven voices from these women. This is the prologue, and the whole piece is called Walking Backwards Through Fire. Who do you think you are, poet, to steal our voices, to walk backwards through the fire of our inner landscapes in search of who you are? I could have journeyed further back through the flickering flames. The threads are there. Could have trekked four continents, travelled through history to the origins of time. It is 1889. In the Nile Valley, a plague of locusts devours the crops. In Myeling, Crown Prince Rudolph and his mistress take their lives. In France, Marie Agathe departs this world and joins her husband. Unwanted, four orphan daughters are scattered from Belgium to Algeria. No one asked if we wanted to leave. On nous a pas demandé si on voulait partir. Jamais on nous a dit tu veux ou tu veux pas. No one ever said, do you want to or not? The famous granddaughter, Chloe, was born just after the planes went into the Twin Towers. She was actually due the day before. Yeah. And I kind of imagined her in the womb thinking, no, this is not the time to be born. And so I wrote a poem that fits into this cycle. A rainbow child, I am waiting for the flames of the Twin Towers to die down. I am not quite ready to emerge. I'm taking my time, taking stock. Above my head, over my bed, will be a tree laden with child fruit. On each a name, from each one thread and more. A tree whose tracery of roots and twigs stretches from Africa to the Caribbean, from the shores of Ireland to the Caucasus Mountains. Tight in my hand, I hold the many coloured threads that connect me to the voices that echo in the waters of birth, that connect me to the voices that come from my journey's end and beginning, that connect me to history mourning her children. I am the child of wars and famines, the slave trade and personal tragedies. With life in my body and a soul that is free, I shall know who I am. I should have said that my granddaughter is half Caribbean, hence the reference to the Rainbow Child. The last poem I'm going to read is the title poem, Lions in the Sand, and I've saved it until last. As I said to you, my husband's ancestors were from Cork and left in the potato famine. My husband died at the age of 41, after a long illness, I believe is the phrase. My children at the time were 5, 7 and 8, and it was very hard for them. And I've always found it a very difficult time to revisit, but it is something that I've done more recently. And this poem just appeared one day. I remembered an outing we'd had. He'd been married before, he'd got two daughters, and we had, before we had any children, I had an outing with him and his two daughters, and it was just a magic moment. So Lines in the Sand is the poem that grew out of that. There was the day we took the ferry across the bay, you, your daughters, and me. You laugh and run from the camera. One buries her feet, then legs in the sand. The other watches the grains flowing from her small fist, being caught by the wind and scattered. I draw lines in the wet sand. We have our picnic, lie among the reeds that tickle the unbroken blue, each lost in his or her own world. Then the chasing games, in and around the rocks, in and out of the sea, waves snapping at our heels, erasing freshly made footprints and the lines in the sand. Thank you very much for your work.